What are you having, breakfast?
Yes. He's having breakfast.
Hey, my friends. Morning and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
You know, we are doing a show.
Bringing you the latest world news and health research. I know we're doing a show. I'm here for it. Been a busy morning getting stuff rolling.
Can I help you with your breakfast?
I don't know. You got any eggs over there?
I already had my eggs, man.
I missed my eggs this morning. So I'm.
Oh.
Gotta step in and do stuff where you need to do it. But I hope you guys are staying strong and healthy this morning. Hope you guys are having a better time management day than I am.
I remember one time, I'll never forget this. It was Marilyn Hickey. She's a TV evangelist.
Yeah.
And I think she's long retired. She may not be alive anymore. And I don't know. And she basically was on a radio show, and she grabs a sandwich and starts munching on it in the microphone.
Chewing?
Yeah.
I'm not going to chew in front of you guys. That's just rude.
That was the last time I ever listened to her.
Yeah.
I thought if she's that busy that she can't stop and have lunch or eat before the talk show and I got to listen to her chew food, I am out.
What are you trying to say?
Two purple sticks.
What am I trying to say?
Hey, if you guys need anything, thank you again for giving us feedback and updates on the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
Have you even said welcome to the worldwide broadcast yet?
I did say that. Where have you been?
I was distracted by watching you.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
At least I can multitask and open a show while I'm doing all this stuff.
Okay, I got to talk about something real quick.
What are we talking about? We're talking about the Brower Show?
No, we're talking about a horrifyingly clear video showing the moment Delta plane crashed and burst into flames without warning in Toronto.
That's horrible.
Yeah, was that one that flipped upside down?
Yeah, this is a big deal. The reason I want to cover the story right now is because I'm a pilot, and I've landed in some pretty garbage conditions before, and I can honestly say we're going to kind of break this down a little bit and make people realize what may have happened here. But my condolences to the families who were injured. By the grace of God, nobody died in this plane crash, which is amazing. But when you have a plane that's basically taking off, we just did this real quick. You got the wings here. The wings produce lift. Now, people think that the wings primarily are getting lift from the bottom of the wing. It's not. It's from the curvature of the top of the wing, from the Bernoulli principle, causing a vacuum above the wing, which sucks the plane up into the air. Now, hang on one second. We'll talk about this in a second. So what happens is when a plane doesn't produce enough lift, it can't fly. You got lift plus thrust plus weight plus drag, all these different factors you've got to talk about on an airplane. But what happened with this plane, and I'm watching this video here, and if you want to turn it on for real quick, Austin, we can watch this video real quick. Here, it's coming in for a landing. And it comes down. Watch. See how fast it's coming down? And boom, he hits really hard. It looks like his right landing gear either collapses or he gets off the runway. And when he gets off the runway, it may have sunk into the softer sand, which is not supposed to do that because it should have been compacted. But then the plane flips upside down, bursts into flames, and everybody's hanging in their seatbelts basically upside down. Everybody got out of this plane alive. Everybody.
I don't know how.
Okay, go ahead, turn off that volume, Austin.
All right.
But what happened? Now, what may have happened here, there's multiple factors involved. When a plane is flying and he's coming in for a landing like this, if you've got real gusty conditions, it'll make the plane think it has more lift than it has. Why is that? Some report said it was up to 70-mile-an-hour winds. Well, if he was landing at 70-mile-an-hour winds, he's exceeded the structural ability of that aircraft. Some people are saying 45-mile-an-hour winds. But it could have been 45-mile-an-hour winds with 75-mile-an-hour gusts. Let me give you an example. If you're taking off and you're flying down, I need to get a real airplane model in here.
You really need a real airplane model.
Yeah, we're doing airplane stuff. It's all these crashes
all
the
time. Your phone.
These are the wings.
There's a lot of crashes lately. I mean, this has gotten kind of weird.
Well, no, what happens is, if a plane's about to take off and it's flying into a gust and you got gusty conditions, let's say I'm flying off of my rotate speed and when I actually pull the yoke back is around 75 knots, 80 knots. If I've got a 40-knot headwind that's solid, I can actually lift off pretty early at about 30 knots because I'm producing that much lift from the headwind. If it's gusting, there's a problem. Because you don't know how long that gust is going to last. It could last 1 second. It could last a minute. It could last whatever. But if the gust stops, the lift stops. The same thing happens when you're landing into a headwind, into a gusty condition. You've got to come in a little bit faster in case the gust stops. Now, whether he did this or not, I don't know. He came in pretty fast. But at the very end, though, he dropped really hard. Now, that could be from the gust that had not basically, kept going for him, which made him lose lift. Or he may have basically just dropped it in real hard because of the winds. Whatever happened, it's literally a miracle that nobody got, you know, that nobody died. It really is. And so I doubt very seriously this pilot will ever fly again, because he obviously has some type of pilot error. But what you have to do when you're...
Unless the landing gear folded up.
Did the landing gear fold up because he exceeded structural limits on the plane, hit too hard?
That's true.
Because that's a very easy thing to do. You come in and you lose your lift from a gust. I've had that happen to me before, and you bounce. And the problem is these planes are so big, they don't like to bounce. They have a tendency to break when you do all that. But it flipped upside down. So I just want to give you the heads up from a pilot standpoint of what could have happened. It could have been pilot error coming in too fast. It could have been pilot error coming in too slow. It could have been the gusty conditions. It could have been because he dropped it in. It could have been because his landing gear failed. There's a lot of factors that are influencing this. I'm just happy and praise God Almighty that nobody died. Now, I'm going to say one other thing. We've got some serious issues with pilots and pilot training now in the United States, period. You know, the FAA, in their infinite stupidity, has required that these pilots all retire by the age of 65. That's insanity. Some of the best pilots that I know are in their 70s because they've had like 50 years of experience flying airplanes.
True.
And they're phenomenal. Now, if they start getting to the point where they lose mental acuity and they can't think or et cetera, at that point, okay, we'll let them retire. Give them a physical, give them a flight test, give them a mental acuity test, but don't force them to retire at the age of 65. It's stupid. So then we get these younger pilots in. Years ago, I had a friend of mine who basically chartered a small jet. And he basically took off from Winter Haven, and the pilot was so inept that the pilot flew in circles, charging him by the minute. These private planes are expensive when you charter them. And because she didn't have clearance to get to Gainesville, you know, Georgia, she thought she was going to Gainesville, Florida. The woman was an idiot, the pilot. Now, I'm not picking on her because she's a woman. She's just an idiot. She's flying in circles. So my friend gets billed an extra $3,000 because the planes flew in circles for half an hour. You think, well, that's a lot of money. It's insane. And that's what I talk about. When you start having these people, and they quote unquote, these people like Bill Gates and all these other people who talk about ecological damage to the environment, and they're flying around on a private jet themselves, they're putting out a lot of carbon footprints. They really are. These things are expensive to fly. And the crazy part about it is this technology using these jet engines is old technology. We already have electrogravitic systems that are basically anti-gravity systems. We don't need all this tech. This is all because of the obfuscation they're doing to us, preventing us from seeing the technology they really have, Austin. Yes. I'm going to say that. This electromagnetic, the anti-gravity stuff was developed way back almost 100 years ago. And we have the ability to use that in our airplanes, but we don't, because we're controlling the narrative and all these lies they put out. So I just want to share that with you. But the pilot training that we have now is pretty bad. And, you know, and then you, and I remember that my friend, he ended up being about 50 miles away from Gainesville, Georgia, and this pilot dropped down to like 4,000 feet. It was choppy, bouncing around. And then she went all the way past the airport like 30 miles, came back and landed in a doggone tailwind. I mean, the woman was a moron. So the reality is that, you know, it could have been a man who was flying. It could have been just as bad. But when you have pilots that don't have the experience or the skill set, it is extremely dangerous to put them into a commercial aircraft, especially with gusts from 40 to 75 miles an hour. Quite frankly, if I had 75-mile-an-hour gusts coming into this airport and I was flying this big airplane, I would default that landing and I would go to another airport, period, unless – the next airport was too far away, and he didn't have the fuel to go there. That could have happened,
too.
That's
what I was about to say, too.
Okay, because remember, takeoffs are optional. Landings are mandatory. You got to land the airplane. You're going to run out of fuel. I just thought I'd mention that. So I feel really happy that people walked away from this, but I can't even imagine what it must have felt like to be coming in with a landing. Nobody told anybody that anything was wrong. And bam, you hit, and then you slide, then you flip upside down.
I'm glad everybody had their seatbelts on.
Oh, my God.
That's why they always tell everybody to have
their seatbelts. Said they were hanging from the ceiling upside down like a bunch of bats. I mean, that would have been a nightmare. I guarantee a lot of people are going to be going through a whole bunch of counseling after this. What's your next story, Austin?
Well, some of this crazy stuff, man. I was watching it last night, and as most people know, these judges have been repeatedly trying to block DOGE from getting in the labor, health, CFP data, almost all this data. And now
it's called Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah, now multiple judges now have upheld DOGE's authority to access data as three federal agencies, as like 14 attorneys have tried to block him from accessing this stuff. some of the stuff that came out last night is so insane to me. I almost thought it was parody. I actually had to look it up on multiple sources to see if this was actually accurate.
Which we do all the time.
Which we do all the time. And so this got even crazier now, where he actually dug into the Social Security database. Not only are there 360 million individuals that are getting Social Security checks, that 360 million, there's only 330 million people in the United States. There are people, there are 1.3 million people getting Social Security checks that are between the age of 150 and 159. They're dead if you didn't pick that up.
Look at this, 179 years old and there's 6,000 of them.
I mean,
over 200 years old.
Some of the database is listed down as date of birth before the United States even came into existence. If
they're 200 years old, this is before Social Security ever even got started.
It's all fraud.
Yeah.
It's all documented fraud that they're putting in fake names with fake Social Security and fake addresses, or real Social Security with dead individuals.
Now, the one, look at this, with 6 million over the age of 99, there aren't even that many.
No.
But now, if you go all the way, roll all the way back, now a lot of this stuff, 0 to 9, these are children whose parents have become basically older and have started drawing Social Security. 38 million? No, that's impossible. 44 million from 10 to 19? I mean, you're looking at more than the population of the United States, Austin.
Yeah. And then it gets even crazier. You're going to like this one. They now came out and they said that $4.7 trillion out of the Treasury is intentionally missing identification codes on multiple sections.
Yeah, I saw
that.
Meaning
there's no way to document where the money has ever gone. The payments are for unknown items, making government spending literally impossible to track.
Yeah, this is black ops, by the way.
That's exactly
black
what
this ops is. Sites. This is the anti-gravity technology. This is the dumb, the deep underground military bases. This is all of that. This all goes back to Roswell in 47. A lot of it does. This is unbelievably unparalleled
this
waste.
Why do you think we're running a $5-6 trillion a year deficit? Look no further. They said the Treasury Department has specifically assigned identification codes called Treasury Access Symbols, designed to note which accounts the Treasury payment is linked to, which Doe said was a standard financial process for bookkeeping throughout time with the United States Treasury. However, these codes are not being assigned for trillions of dollars of line items that they cannot find. They cannot figure out where the money went. Trillions of dollars worth of payments as the fields are considered blank.
I hope he stops those payments now.
Oh, I hope so. A lot of stuff. They, the Doge Group, was shocked at this last night. They said, essentially, according to the Bureau of Fiscal Service, TSA codes are identification codes assigned by the Treasury to an individual appropriation receipt or other fund account. And so, essentially,
I get $2,000 a month as Social Security.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
4.7 trillion payment missing identification codes.
Now, is that over the aggregate or is that over the last year?
Let me see.
It probably is over the aggregate, I would imagine.
I'm sure it's over the aggregate.
Yeah, because you're looking at a lot of 4.7. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
You're talking 12 zeros now. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah. So far, they said Doge has already cut out $55 billion as of February 17th. And essentially, they said a mix of fraud detection, deletion, contract lease cancellations, contract lease and renegotiations, and a host of other things on here. And they've only been doing this for a week and a half. And they've already cut out $55 billion.
Here's an interesting little thing here. Missouri truck company owner gets 9 years for PPP fraud and other felonies. How about all these people?
Yeah.
With trillions.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I'm not saying this guy should have done this with the PPP, and we warned everybody about PPP when they came out with it. But here we are. I mean, 9 years in prison. Christopher Lee Carroll, the Missouri man who set up a trucking company as part of a broader scheme to fraudulently obtain loans under the pandemic-driven Paycheck Protection Plan, has been sentenced to 9 years in federal prison. The jury convicted Carroll in September of 3 counts of bank fraud, 3 counts of making false statements to a financial institution, and 1 count of conspiracy to violate the Clean Air Act, 13 violations of the Clean Air Act, and 2 counts of threatening a witness. Carroll was convicted and sentenced to the U.S. court for the District of Missouri, and he was also ordered to pay a restitution of $3 million. Now, I'm not saying that what he did was right, because it's wrong. He should never have done this. I mean, he set up a dummy corporation to get PPP loans. But the problem here is this. When are we going to hold the people in the count in the Congress and in the Senate and in these organizations accountable for this? This goes right back to that Chevron doctrine, Austin, when you allow these subgroups basically to start making all these decisions with money.
That's exactly what's happened. You've had these agencies now that get this just – I mean, they get an open budget. We need another $20 billion this year. Congress just passes it. They don't care about the $20 billion. Well, they go in and do whatever they want with this money. And now we've seen the money. I mean, it's the slush fund.
This is like letting somebody grab your checkbook and start writing checks to everybody and never asking you why or where.
I was reading some data on it last night.
And you can't overdraft it because this goes into a deficit.
And I was reading last night on all these crazy different line item things that these agencies like USAID and stuff have been sending to. And then come to find out, about 95% of the money that USAID's been paying out was going to subcontractors. Those subcontractors had LLCs. A lot of those LLCs were dummy LLCs. So the money was just funneling through these different groups. Like $100 million for a giant power plant in Afghanistan that never even got finished. Never got completed. Well, we paid all the money out to the contractor.
You got to remember, you know, we were running, you know, heroin out of Afghanistan. We had to have power to dry the poppies and to get the heroin processed. And, you know, when we developed fentanyl, we didn't have to deal with it anymore. We pulled out of Afghanistan. If you guys want to know why we left Afghanistan, it has nothing to do with the Taliban or the fall of Afghanistan or anything. It has to do with fentanyl. We didn't need to have to bother to grow poppy plants and process the heroin. We can make it in a laboratory, and fentanyl is so much more powerful than heroin. It's unbelievably addictive, and it's incredibly dangerous to use, and people are dying all over the place from it. Speaking of incredibly horrible things, Disney's latest sneak peek for Snow White, starring Rachel Ziegler, who can't keep her mouth shut, gets 84,000 dislikes in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
15 times more dislikes than likes. And this is a crazy story out of Breitbart. And I mean, if anybody goes to watch this movie, something's really, really, really wrong or woke with them. The latest sneak peek for Walt Disney's live-action remake of Snow White, starring Rachel Ziegler, she's not even pretty. It's weird to me. It's getting hammered online, with the video receiving 84 dislikes on YouTube in just 2 days. Disney released a sneak peek video over the weekend. They have approximately $300 million in this movie, Austin, and they're trying to figure out how to fix it because they don't know what to do because the whole thing is collapsing around them and nobody wants to see it. Disney originally planned to release the big movie back in 2024, but delayed the opening by a full year because they had to do extensive reshoots. Ziegler recently exacerbated the situation by insulting supporters of Donald Trump. Okay, you've got conservatives who want to take their children to this movie for some unknown reason, who basically voted for Trump, and she comes out with this great, the big tweet she has in an Instagram posting the November election. The actress wrote that those who voted Trump are part of the deep, deep sickness in this country. She concluded, F Donald Trump. Real class act, isn't she? That's the class act. Let's take our little girls to see Snow White with her talking like this. Now, she later retracted that and apologized for it. But what the heck is she thinking on a major release of a movie coming out, and she says something like this?
Entitled little brats, bro. That's what they are.
Are they trust fund babies also?
I mean, I don't think they're that. They're just entitled brats. They've been told that this is what you have to believe. This is what you have to talk about.
Everybody got a trophy?
Everybody gets a trophy, and everybody's basically bad if they don't believe what you believe. I mean,
I'll never forget. I was on that airplane, and we were coming back from Mykonos and coming into Athens, and that girl, and that Donald Trump had just won the election, and she starts talking about he's a Hitler, he's a Nazi, he's a fascist. And I looked at her and I said, "Why? Why is he a fascist?" And she didn't know how to answer because she just was parroting things that she had heard. Then she went berserk. We're on the airplane getting off the plane. She starts screaming at me, and she's like 21 years old. She was a cheerleader at Clemson, she said. And she just went berserk. And I looked at her, watching her like red-faced with hysteria, screaming. And I kept asking her, "Well, why is he a Nazi?" Couldn't answer the question because she had heard it. So she was parroting it from one of her professors, is what it was. And the sad part about it is her mom's over there behind her, like mouthing, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." I let the little brat scream. I thought to myself, wow, I'm surprised she didn't fall down and collapse red-faced in hysteria in the aisle.
They do that sometimes. I've seen videos of that too. They fall on the ground kicking and screaming.
I actually saw that live one time. At a gate. I was there in the mud and the rain, actually, pitching a fit until they fell down, kicking and screaming in the mud. You think, no, you didn't. I really did see that. I did. It was it was really bizarre. Okay, what's next?
This is funny now too. This is going to be interesting to see the numbers on this. I've been on a rampage with this right now. Judge declines to block DOGE's access to student financial aid data, meaning they're going through with it now. DOGE is going to have full access to student financial aid data on all loans.
Yeah, they need to.
No, they need
all these fake loans that never get paid back.
Or what they've done now with this unbelievably usury they've done a lot of these kids where they've taken $20,000, $30,000 loans out. They can't pay them back, and all of a sudden they default on them. The interest goes to 29%. They get fees on penalties on top of fees and penalties at 29%, and the loans start doubling and tripling themselves in a few short years. Seen it. Watched it happen. Watch people I know have this issue. $20,000, $30,000 loan in 10 years turns into a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 loan. Can't pay it back. Can't pay back the interest. The money, first off, you never got the money. The money goes to the institutions, goes to the universities. They get all the money. You get a degree, you get saddled with all this debt, you can't pay the debt, they default on you, default on it, the interest goes to 29, all these things start adding on top of it. And it's really sad, actually, because, I mean, yes, I do believe everybody needs to be responsible for their own finances. Sign a loan, you need to figure out what to do with it. But this usury as well has to stop.
Well, you know, the problem is you get an 18-year-old who's an idiot.
They have no idea about
it. I mean, everybody at 18 was stupid. Yeah. I mean, okay, so I wasn't stupid when I was 18. Okay, great, you're the exception.
Yeah,
I'm
the
happy
exception
for you.
Rule.
I'll send you the halo. You can adjust it, all right? Almost everybody at 18 is an idiot.
Yeah,
okay, except for you. You aren't, okay? I was. I did some stupid things, okay? I'm just saying, you know, it was what it was. And I was able to come out of that by about 21, 22. I really did. Started Health Masters at the age of 25. But what was interesting about this is I've realized that people don't have concrete rational thought. In most cases, they never do until about the age of 23, 24, 25. So when you give an 18-year-old a slip of paper that says, here's a $50,000 loan, just sign and drive.
Yeah. You can pay it back when you're out of college and you're making money and you have a job. That's how they always poison.
No, it's insane. And then they either don't finish the degree or they buy and go in and get a useless degree, and the university sits there and gets paid regardless of what they major in. I'm going to water in transgender underwater basket weaving. I'm going to major in that. I'm going to have a diploma. It's going to say, transgender underwater basket weaving is me. You go, how are you going to market that? I don't know. I'm going to underwater basket weave. I mean, you're like, are you just that stupid? No, I'm an underwater basket weaving transgender. And you're like, This degree cost me $250,000. I'm like, yeah, okay. Why don't we just
hear what we call unhirable?
Let's put you in that little padded room and let you talk to yourself for a while because you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life because you can't bankrupt that. I saw it also.
Student loans.
Somebody loses a motorcycle. I saw this. And that motorcycle basically went into default, didn't have any insurance on it, 18-year-old kid. And that 18-year-old kid decided not to pay the loan. And about a year, 2 years later, they called him up and told him basically that the money had gone from $8,000 to $18,000. And within 4 to 5 years, it'd be $100,000. And they weren't going to file a judgment against him until he had basically got out of college. And they were going to wait for the full 7 years so he could maximize the return on their investment.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen personally. And you think to yourself, what the heck? You know, and then the kid ended up having to file bankruptcy because he was smart. When you have these predatory loan sharks like this, it's unreal how bad they are. You know, I remember that happened. There's a singer out. His name's Neil Diamond. Nobody knows who he was. He signed up with the mob to get his first records released.
Oh, boy.
And apparently they pulled a gun on him because he wanted out of the contract. Oh, yeah. And they told him, they said, you know, there's a reason our logo is a gun. this is a true story. And you think, what the heck happened? Well, you find out very, very quickly that there are certain people, certain things you don't need to associate with, and certain places you never need to go. And Neil Diamond learned that the hard way, but he got out of the contract.
Well, so a lot of people don't realize the music industry. I had a buddy who was in it for years. He finally got out of the music industry. The industry is one of the most predatory industries in the entire planet.
Oh, my gosh.
What they do is they go in, and so they'll say they'll give you like $1 million contract, but you're getting that as a front, basically as a draw that you have to pay back. And what they do is they'll make you sign a contract that it's like a 90-10. So they get 90% of the royalties. They get 90% of the money. You get 10% that gets applied to your $1 million draw, and they own everything. They own the rights to the music. They own every aspect of the music. So what happens is you got to generate not only the $900,000 to pay them back, you got to generate the million off your 10% just to pay your million back before you even flatten out and you start actually making any more money after your draw. This is how they get these guys wrapped up in these just contract after contract.
Same thing with the book industry.
Yeah.
That's why we started promoting. That's why Health Masters, we actually set up a publishing company and started producing and printing our own books.
It's all predatory.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It is designed to screw everyone but those guys. And essentially, that's what they've done now with a lot of these predatory loans. Like I said, you see these things where somebody defaults on something like that, whether it's a motorcycle, whether it's a car, whether these financial aids. They hit you with these late fees on top of these penalties, on top of these default fees. I've seen in some sheets before 5 and 6 different fees every single month when you default on it, on top of the 29% interest.
Real quick, and in some cases with book publishers and distributors, they'll charge you a fee to store your material.
Yeah.
So every month you get a bill, like if it's $1,000 just for the storage, and your royalty may be $500. So every month you go deeper into debt. And pretty soon it's like they own all the books and they own all the storage, and now you don't get anything. I had this happen years ago, and if I told you the person's name who did this to me personally, you would know who he is. And I'm not going to – he ended up in prison for 10 years. Absolute scoundrel is what he was. He set me up with our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program with an infomercial. This was around, I guess, close to 30 years ago. And what he did is he set it up so that he could wholesale the product and reduce the royalties I was getting paid. Let me give you an example. It was set up like this. I was supposed to get $10 per unit that I sold as far as from a royalty standpoint on Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy on all the stuff that was done on the infomercials. Unless he wholesaled the units out, then I got paid 10% on the wholesale value. So if he sold the units out for $8 or $9 or $10 or $6 a piece, instead of getting $10, I got 50 cents.
Yep.
Which is impossible to make any money with. And then I had to carry the inventory, and I'm like, this is crazy. And he never paid me a single royalty ever and ended up owing me a bunch of money, and he ended up going to prison. Now, it wasn't because of me. It was a bunch of other stuff that he had run, a bunch of scams that he was doing. But the problem is this industry is so predatory, Austin, and it's based on royalties. This is why so many of these artists, you think they're worth all this money, and they're not. It's like with OnlyFans. Don't get me wrong. I'm not an OnlyFans guy. I've never done that stuff. I would never look at that kind of stuff. But the reality is the average person on OnlyFans who sells themselves on OnlyFans only makes about $1,300 a month on the average.
And then what you have, you've got the marketing that OnlyFans will actually go in and they'll market a lot of these top producing girls, basically porn stars, and they'll put them on all types of media platforms. And they'll sit there and talk about how they're making $2, 3, 4, 5 million a month. And they'll promote them. They'll put them on every single social media platform and podcast. And what it does is it gets a lot of these young girls that, A, don't need to be in that industry, period.
It's a bad industry.
They go start doing that because they think they're going to start making $2, 3, 4, 5 million a month.
No, it's $1,300 a year or $108 a month is the average.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. But the sad part about it is, what do? They compromise themselves.
Well, here's the problem with all that industry is that these young girls, and I've warned people about this for years, the internet doesn't let anything go anymore. You start putting stuff out there online, it's out there forever. It doesn't matter if it's a private site or this or that. Doesn't matter.
All they've got is video, the screenshot. That's right. Yeah, post it.
It's bad. So, again, also, too, this is other crazy news. Minnesota declares state of emergency amid outbreak trifecta of diseases now with poultry. This is nothing. I'm going to tie this into another article here that I'm starting to figure out what's actually going on with this whole bird flu, influenza, whatever they want to call it. They said this is called avian metavirus now, a respiratory disease spreading among poultry. Then you have highly pathogenic avian influenza, and then the H5N1 bird flu.
Notice they put them in hazmat suits.
Yes. They're saying here the declaration means the state can now offer zero interest loans to farmers who are forced to cull their flock and lose cattle based on the mandates from the infection. Do you see what I said? Zero interest loans.
It's still a loan.
It's still a loan. They're going in now and they're telling these people it's mandatory. You have to wipe out the entire flock you have of birds.
And I guarantee you the zero interest loan has a timeline on
it. That's what I was just about to get into. Iowa, Ohio, and Indiana has lost more than 50 5 million birds now, the top three egg-producing states. And what's crazy about this, when you start looking at it, you start realizing that this whole thing is getting way, way deeper than any of us thought of, with the ability for these banks now that are coming in based on mandates. We've mandated, we've PCR tested a bird. One of your chickens has H5N1 bird flu. All 5 million of your chickens have to die now. But don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. We're going to give you an interest-free loan to cover the expense of this. Well, interest-free loan doesn't make me money, ding-dong. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's a mandate. It's a federal mandate.
We're giving you $10 million. You get to pay back to us.
Yeah, we're 0% interest. Only for 12 months. Read the fine line. Then it goes 29% interest if you don't pay it back immediately.
Then we seize everything.
Then we seize everything, including the company. So what's crazy here is now is we're looking at this and we're finding that this is exactly the crap they've done time after time in the banking cartel industry, where they go in, they force individuals have to accept things and do things, and then they come back in and give them loans, predatory loans, and then continually own all the companies and come in and buy them up for pennies on the dollar for debt.
I got a story.
Let's hear it.
Henry Ford.
Oh, here we go.
This is going to make some of you guys mad. But not really a lot of you.
It's pretty accurate. I know what you're
But Henry Ford basically had Ford Motor Company, and his dealer network was basically being funded through the International Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan Rothschild Banking Cartel. Yep. And they would floor plan the vehicles for these dealers and basically charge them very, very good rates. And Henry Ford was able to mass produce his Model Ts and send them all over the United States to his dealers, which pretty much had guaranteed floor planning to sell his product. Then the international banking cartels came in and said, Mr. Ford, we're not going to do this anymore. You know, we want part of Ford Motor Company. Yep. If you want us to do this, we want part of your company, like, you know, 51%. I don't know the exact percentage, but it was pretty high. And he looked at them and he goes, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. And so then the dealer network had to turn around and find their own financing, which they did.
Yep.
Now, what was interesting about this is Mr. Ford noticed one thing in common, which was the bottom line denominator with these guys. They were all Jewish. You think, okay, Ted, you go on there just for a second. So he basically wrote an entire treatise, about 500 pages and different things that he wrote and published, called The International Jew. And he started talking about how they came in with usury, and they were coming in and trying to take over Ford Motor Company. And that's exactly – I'm not saying that people taking over these egg places are Jewish. I'm not saying that. Don't put me there. I don't know. But if they're bankers and they're basically loaning money to these guys, there's something weird about all of this stuff. And then Ford basically became known as an unbelievable anti-Semite. He did. And it was kind of crazy. In fact, he then started corresponding with Hitler. And he got the highest level achievement award – that Hitler could give Mr. Ford. You think, this isn't true. None of this is true. Okay, just look it up. Just look it up. And if I'm wrong, tell me, and I'll correct it. And so all of this, and I'm not saying that all Jews are bad. Don't put those words in my mouth, because they're not. I've got a lot of friends that are Jewish. But when you have these international bankers who aren't Jews anyhow, they're of the synagogue of Satan, and they're Kabbalist, Luciferian, transgender weirdos, then you start to realize who's running the planet and who's standing behind the curtain with Lucifer himself.
Well, then you find out where this entire push is with the Moderna $500 million grant Moderna just got for H5N1 RNA vaccine. It says right here, controlling the disease itself will continue to get harder as egg farmers and breeders struggle to keep the disease out of their poultry barns. Eventually, vaccinations will be on the table.
This is exactly what happened to us here in Florida with the citrus greening.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to stop for one second here. You guys know what I'm talking about. We used to have orange groves all around
us.
Up
in orange groves. That is an orange grove.
They're gone. They're gone. If it freezes in Florida now, it doesn't make a bit of difference.
No.
Groves aren't affected anymore. Groves are gone. And now what they've learned is if you give them amoxicillin, like inject the trees with an antibiotic, that they can stay strong and not die. And what's happened is all of the aluminum, in my opinion, aluminum barium that's been pushed into the environment, into the soil, has poisoned these trees, and they cannot live in it. That's why so many other crops that are placed down here cannot live, because the soil is so contaminated with that, and glyphosate, by the way.
Yeah.
And so all of this stuff is happening at once, and you think, well, You mean the orange groves are gone in Florida? They're pretty much all gone. It's turned into a giant development.
Well, there's some area down towards like Wachula and some stuff that still got some ag down there.
And they run amoxicillin and all those good groves.
But like where we grew up, I mean, we're here. I mean, this everything around us is orange groves. I grew up here. Yeah. That's why I lived out in the orange groves. They're gone now. And it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. I've had two people, and this is a completely different side topic, though, going off that. I've had two people email me this in different parts of the state. And then I looked up outside the sky yesterday, and I noticed the same thing. Multiple people are telling me across the country that they have not been seeing any chemtrails for the last week, week and a half.
Geoengineering.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not conspiracy theory, but there's not been planes crossing, you know, checkerboarding the sky every single day. And it's interesting because, you know, I wonder where all this funding was coming from. I told you guys before, who's operating these planes flying over Florida all day, every day, running checkerboards back and forth? Who's doing it? These jets aren't cheap. Fuel's not cheap.
No.
Pilots aren't cheap. Who's operating these planes? Was it Houston? Was it these grants? All this money going out to these contractors? Is that how this money was being paid? I don't know. Just find it kind of odd. I haven't seen them lately.
Or they're going through the Social Security Trust Fund black hole.
300-year-old people.
Well, no. And, you know, the thing about it is this. Is you say, and, you know, and Dane Whittington, he does a great job as far as talking about geoengineering.
No, he knows way more than I do.
Amazing guy. We've had him on the show many times. But the reality is that, you know, when we have a group of people that are remember, this cult doesn't care about you. It doesn't care about me. Now we're talking about the globalist Kabbalah synagogue of Satan again. They consider you to be a subhuman. They consider themselves to be real humans. They consider you to be something they've made because of their having points of light with their god Ein Sof. It's the weirdest thing. It's a sex-death cult. And when you understand that, you start to realize that they're angry that you're in God's image and they're not. They're angry that you have a soul and they don't, as far as these fallen angels. And so you start to find out very, very quickly how much they hate you, and they will just spray you like a bug from the air with pesticides. Years ago, in the 90s, we had this problem with this citrus greening, and we thought it was because of the Mediterranean fruit fly. And they decided to use DC-3s, tanker planes, and spray us from the air with malathion. Humans, all of us, got sprayed. And they warned us, don't go outside when you see the DC-3 coming over because you're going to be encased in malathion, which is a neurotoxin. And they started spraying us. And sure enough, this stinking thing flew over my house spraying. I thought, I ran inside. I thought, unbelievable. Well, then the courts got involved, and we had it stopped because they were poisoning us. So don't think they won't do it, because I've seen them do it with malathion. Speaking of transgender weirdo murderers, sex death cults, a transgender vegan cult leader has been arrested in the U.S. for over six deaths. Whoa. That's Jack Lesota is allegedly the head of the Zizians, whose members have allegedly worked with NASA and with Google. An alleged leader of the transgender vegan cult, linked to six deaths across the United States, has been arrested in Maryland. Jack Lesota, 34, was arrested on Sunday with Michelle Zajico, 33, who is reportedly another member of the group known as the Zizians. You know, just when you think it can't get any weirder, we now have transgender vegan cult leaders killing people.
There you go.
Supposedly. Yeah. You think, well, are you making this stuff up? Nope. I've posted it on the Health Masters news feed, and you can look at it yourself. What's your next story, Austin?
This is funny. Again, I'd love to see this. Department of Education gets another $600 million cut from their ideological training programs. These certain programs are part of the critical race theory platform. They're calling them inappropriate and unnecessary topics from DOGE. What's crazy about this, you start looking at this stuff, and it goes into detail how a lot of these programs that they were doing with DEI were nothing more than trying to increase and cause more issues with racism. Critically
racism,
literally trying to increase it and try to talk about it more and more and more to cause more problems and more divisive aspects in the school system.
Black Lives Matter.
And yeah, this is crazy here. It says one of the professors that coined a term applied critical race lenses to classrooms and encouraged teachers to organize marches and boycotts against their perceived colleagues perceived as either racist, homophobic, or basically you know, anything else that they don't agree with.
When Harrison was graduating from law school a few years ago, we had a little thing after the graduation, which everybody got to get together and eat some very, very bad food. It was awful, by the way. And there was a black kid there who graduated from law school with Harrison. Congratulations to him and all the other graduates that year. And he had a big banner, big thing on his chest that said, Black Lives Matter.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yep. And I walked up to him and I said, "So Black Lives Matter?" "Yeah, they do. They really do. I'm going to be in the courts and I'm going to fix these injustices." And I'm like, "What about white lives? What do you mean? White lives not matter? That's not what I'm saying." I'm like, "You think Black Lives Matter is pretty inclusive? It doesn't say about whites." And he goes, "Well, no." He goes, "You don't understand." I said, "No, yeah, I understand." I said, "It's all ideological. And you've been trained to believe this." And that's what the Department of Education has done. They've given all this money to push all these grants, and push all this money into our public school systems here in Polk County and all over the other countries, all over the rest of our country and all these other counties, just in order to try to indoctrinate these people to create more race baiting.
That's exactly what it is. It's race divisive baiting. Race baiting. Because I told you, why is it this, and this happened in multiple schools? These kids were allowed to walk around with Black Lives Matter T-shirts. Okay, freedom of speech. Got it. Okay, that's what you want to do. Kid walks in, White Lives Matter shirt. Expelled. Done. Out of class. You're expelled for the entire week. Why? That's a racist shirt. So wait a minute. His kid comes in. Hispanic Lives Matter. Expelled. Out. Done. Take the shirt off. You're not allowed to school today. Black Lives Matter. Absolutely. You're good to go. Keep pushing, stopping the oppression. Why is it suddenly that one word changes on these T-shirts?
Okay, first of all,
do you understand this? Do you understand the ideology here?
First of all, do you realize how – forgive my language here. Do you realize how asinine this whole thing is?
Yeah.
It's asinine.
This is all coming from the Department of Education with these grants, with these DEI hires.
And that's why when we spoke to the school board, I said something about critical race theory. I said, give me a break. Critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, and these lesbians that were up there looking at me like they were going to kill me and take me out back and draw and quarter me. You remember that?
They were
scowling at me. You know, I'm like, God almighty, these guys are like a nightmare from hell. Oh, that's right. They are a nightmare from hell, aren't they? They're like a bunch of harpies. That's that winged creature that has talons and claws and fangs. Yeah, why don't you look that one up and find out what a harpy is? That's what they reminded me of. I'm surprised they weren't perching on the back of their chairs with their talons.
Just unbelievable. No, but it was crazy, though. And that's the crap that was going on in the school systems, especially during COVID. But my favorite one was when anybody tried to go to a business, anybody tried to walk around, anybody tried to actually do something productive. No. COVID's here. You're not allowed to walk. Well, hold on a second. We're putting a Black Lives Matter march together. Oh, you got 10,000 people coming for a rally? Good to go. You don't need masks.
No mask required.
You don't need to do anything. Just show up and you can rally. Oh, you need to burn down the entire city? Well, that's okay. Oh, your business is open? Oh, you're white? Oh, no, you're not essential. You have to close down. You're getting arrested. When they did that in Tampa.
I remember. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. This is terrible. We went up to Harrison a few years ago. We were supposed to go on this trip, and he didn't have a passport. He forgot it, that it expired. And so we ended up going to Washington, D.C. by accident. And while we were there, they were having a neo-Nazi rally.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay? And Antifa was there. You know, and I remember, and we were sitting here at this neo-Nazi rally, and we weren't really rallying for the neo-Nazis. We weren't even allowed to get close to them because I was curious as to what they were going to say. We were at the other side of the parade grounds up in D.C., and it was funny because the neo-Nazis basically showed up in, you know, three-piece suits and ties, you know, no graffiti on them, none of that. They were really talking like Southern Baptists.
They were walking around with Nazi flags
and pipes. No, not at all. They said that we need to protect the country and really stop all this unbridled immigration.
That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's not what they said. So I'm sitting there. And so I'm standing there watching all these protesters, and this guy walks by, and he's wearing – forgive me. If you got kids listening, close your ears right now, okay? He's wearing a vagina hat. And you think, really? I'm not going to say that again. And all these other weird things were going on there, and Sharon's walking around with me, and we looked at each other and said, we look like we just walked into the land of fruits and nuts and flakes and weirdos.
Twilight Zone.
No, it was like the Twilight Zone. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world would they wear hats like that? And then all of a sudden, here comes Antifa. And they're walking down the street. There's about 200 of them. They're perfectly in lockstep. And they got black masks on. They got headgear on. They've got
waving their Antifa flags.
They're wearing full body armor. And they've got a steel pipe in their hand. And as they walk, they're hitting their hand with the steel pipe. And so I said to them, I said, are those the neo-Nazis? I made a spectacle of myself. I have to admit, because when people wear those kind of hats, you got to realize their IQ points can't be real high. And so I made a spectacle of myself, and I thought to myself, this is interesting. Are those the neo-Nazis? Oh, no, those are the good guys. Those are the Antifa. And I'm like, How can they be the good guys when they're walking around with full body armor, masks on, and they're hitting their fists and hitting their hands with steel pipes? Oh, no, they're the good guys. They're here to fight against the Nazis. And I said, there's three Nazis here. And I said,
Alleged Nazis.
And I said, the Nazis got to be 100 years old. I said, are they in wheelchairs? They looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, 1945 was a long time ago. I thought they were all dead by now. Oh, no, no, these are neo-Nazis. These are the new Nazis. I'm like, okay. So we've got Antifa over here running around with steel pipes wanting to kill everybody, and we got the guys over there with three-piece suits talking about stopping immigration, but they're the bad guys, either the good guys. And I thought to myself, what an upside-down world, Austin.
That's what it is. That's the way, again, that goes back to what the Department of Education has been promoting these young kids when they graduate high school. They're complete and total morons. I mean, a lot of the kids you talk to now that are teenagers in their early 20s, they don't even know anything about history. The vast majority of people I've talked to
don't even know who George Washington is.
No, they don't even know that the only thing you bring up the Civil War, and they go, oh, South had slaves. That's why we fought them. That's why we won.
Bring up World War II. Oh, Holocaust.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the only that they know, the key talking points to cause the division on the topic. That's it. No other history part they even understand.
World War II has become a footnote to the Holocaust.
That's exactly what it's become.
And then they want to believe all the stories about the Holocaust. It's crazy. By the way, successful U.S.-Russian talks conclude after 4 hours with no Ukraine or EU reps included or invited. You know,
he canceled.
Look at him.
Mr. 5 foot two man's angry.
Oh, look at him. He's so mad. So look at mad. Him. Look at him. And, you know, he wants to say, I've got to get back to my leather tights and my high
where's
heels.
My piano at? It says he's abruptly canceled the Saudi Arabia visit after being sidelined from U.S.-Russia.
They don't even take him seriously,
man. Thinking about it. He's not even invited into the negotiations about
his country. Not the duly elected president
anymore.
That's
exactly right. Everybody in politics knows this entire thing has been one gigantic sham to waste bodies and waste lives, launder money, and traffic weapons. That has been the only purpose of this war.
He's trying to walk on a lat spread, too, and he has no lats.
He's got invisible lat syndrome.
Invisible lats.
Yeah, zero lats. Oh, it's funny. He said, we just a prior warning while the EUA, Ukraine will not accept. Ukraine knew nothing about this. Any negotiations about Ukraine, we will not accept it.
Now, here's a good one.
That's really funny.
Nolte, right? Border czar Tom Homan says illegal daily encounters are down to 200 from 11,000 a day.
Well, you know why? We're sending Green Berets down to Mexico to train the Mexican Marines now. Did you see that last night?
Didn't you tell me one time in Afghanistan that whenever a convoy came by that had a logo of the U.S. Marine Corps on it, they would never
die. Sergeant Cook used to tell me that. Some of the transport convoys in the Army would put basically the Marine Corps insignia on the side of it because they always do. If you ever talk to anybody that's ever deployed over there, the Marines had very, usually in most cases, very different rules of engagement. Pretty much as soon as you engage a Marine,
very short fuse.
They do anything and everything to absolutely kill you as aggressively as possible. The Army, a lot of times in transport, they're told they're not allowed to return fire unless they're basically taking direct fire, and then they're supposed to, like, get out of harm's way and flee. When you shoot the Marine Corps convoys, the convoys would stop, turn, come after them, back to the Taliban, and engage them with everything they had. So a lot of the convoys would put the Marine Corps insignia on it. So that's a Marine convoy. Do not shoot at them. Do not shoot them.
You shoot them, we all die.
All die. So that's what's interesting now is you got Green Berets going down to Africa – or not to Africa, down
southern
to
border.
Southern border, down to Mexico, and they're going to be training the basically the Mexican Marines now. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out. If they're getting trained by Green Berets, which are some of the most elite Tier 1 operators, they're going to get some training.
We need some mental candy.
Mental candy. Give me some mental
candy.
Bubblegum for the brain.
Apparently, Elon Musk, who does not know how to wear protection when he's having relations with a woman,
he's
has
like
another baby.
He's another baby.
Now. Yeah. Elon Musk's baby mama, Ashley St. Clair, felt jilted and terrified after realizing she was out in the cold when the tech billionaire ghosted her after they apparently had a little liaison.
A little fling.
And so now apparently Elon's –
How many baby mamas does he have?
I think he's got 4 or 5 now. But he said, but the crazy part about this is –
what's the child support payments with his net worth?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure if they give it to her the way they probably would if he actually disclosed his income, she'd probably get $100,000 a month.
Unless he – with that level of businesses, though, he probably has a bunch of stuff shielded. It's probably not in his name, I'm sure.
Well, somebody told me last night one of my good friends said that Elon Musk doesn't do anything as far as running any of his companies, and he's not involved in any of them, and he's a cutout, and he basically just doesn't realize he basically is just a real just a phony. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know if I believe all that, but here's what it says.
Some of the tech stuff he's put together is pretty crazy.
But if he put it together, Austin,
yeah.
It says Elon Musk doesn't run any of his companies. He's an actor and a figurehead, a composite. He does not run SpaceX. He does not run Tesla. These are all projects by our rulers, but he's the face or the cutout. He's just an amalgamation of the work of the intelligence groups, the biggest psyop of all time. How do you feel about that?
How do you explain Doge then coming in and our cutting out almost $60 billion over the last week and a half and exposing the unbelievably insane corruption that's been happening in Washington?
Oh, I can't explain it.
I'm curious.
Remember what they say. You have to be able to explain both sides.
Both sides. That's what I'm asking. Okay.
So if that's the case. Let's look at it this way. The United States is fiscally insolvent.
That is true.
We're bankrupt.
Yeah.
We are putting out so much money right now to groups that don't deserve the money that we are about to become incapable of even paying our national debt or the interest on it.
That is a true statement.
And so the international banking cartel looks at us and says, we kind of overstepped our bounds here. This company
yeah.
is about to go bankrupt. We're about to have a full meltdown of the United States. So what we have to do is send in Doge now and clean this mess up and show everybody that we, the international banking cartels, we didn't do any of this. We are innocent. So we're going to now show.
This is all government corruption. Mm-hmm. We bankers.
So what we're going to do is we're going to come in and we're going to say now, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to clean this mess up and we're going to show you we're the good guys. And they cut out $2 trillion a year in deficit spending. And it kicks the can down the road another 4 or 5 years until they can bring in their new world order under Lucifer.
That's a valid argument on your side with that.
There's an argument.
That is an argument to it.
Okay. Remember Scott Fitzgerald said, the ability of intelligence is the ability to look at both sides of the argument and argue both directions. Why is it suddenly we have Doge? Why is it suddenly we are allowed to go in and clean this mess up? Why is it suddenly that all of a sudden Social Security has shown that we're paying people 200 years old Social Security?
Yeah. Then you got USAID, though, that's coming in now and giving all this money to basically these CIA contractors to push all these different programs.
And all this is all stopping now.
Yeah.
And what all of a sudden is, why is this suddenly happening? Is it because they know that this can's about to stop being kicked down the road and we've got to fix something?
What, last year we paid, I think, $1.5 trillion in interest? $1.4 trillion?
We can't do that. No, because what happens? No, it doesn't take any bean counter, any accountant,
yeah.
any CPA that's worth his weight in anything is capable of projecting and looking at what the long term results are going to be.
Right. It's what's sustainable at all.
It's insolvency.
Yeah.
So suddenly we have Doge come in and say, oh, we're going to cut out almost the entire federal budget because it's all fraud. And also the bankers go, yes, we'll get to kick it down the road another 5 years until we get our new world order lined up with all of our weapons that we've transferred and kicked into Afghanistan and into Ukraine and everywhere else we've done this.
Well, if that's the case, though, then all these programs, though, like DEI, that have been promoting this perversion for years now.
It collapses too fast.
Well, no, but they're collapsing. Their entire people are starting to witness what's happened with DEI.
You have to do a cost-benefit analysis. What do we do? Do we collapse DEI or do we collapse the country? The United States is the reserve currency of the world, and it allows these international banking cartels to rule and reign over the entire planet. Period.
So you think it's possible, just speculation, that possibly this DEI program, because so many people have been pushing back, they've realized that they overplayed their hand with it. That's why they're
losing too much money. You got pilots, you got planes crashing everywhere.
That's true.
I mean, this is not some exaggeration.
These shareholders also, too, probably not very happy with some of these programs.
Yeah. But they've got to find a way to stop the bleed. This is triage.
Okay.
The United States has basically been in a massive accident. We've got all kinds of limbs severed. We're bleeding out, and they've got to say, crap. Let's send in Doge. Who ever heard of Doge and stuff like that? I mean, no one's ever done anything like this before. Now, all of a sudden, Trump becomes the savior, okay, the messiah, which a lot of people believe that he is, which they're very misled, by the way, from that thought. And all of the people that are saying, this is great, this is great, this is great. And don't get me wrong, I like the fact this stuff that we have been talking about is being exposed.
Oh, I found it very intriguing. I love numbers. And the fact that I've been having to try to understand this level of corruption when you're talking about tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, that nobody
trillions of dollars.
Nobody can figure out where this money's been going.
And Social Security, $5 trillion.
Yeah, now we're digging in deep and we're finding out all these programs, all this perversion, all this transgender is all being funded.
Oh, yeah.
With all these groups and LLCs and contractors. So,
well, first of all, let me explain something to you. If you take the population in general, and I'm just talking across cuts,
right.
But just general population, and you start asking them, how much transgender funding do you want to take out of your paycheck every week?
Valid point.
I'm talking about you taking it out of your paycheck, not the government's paying it. They're coming to you and they're saying, hey, Joe, hey, Mary, hey, Susan.
You even do that to Democrats.
I want you to cut me a check out of your net earnings this week.
I need $500 a week now.
Yeah, for $500 or 10% of your net, I want it every week because we have to have transgender story hour because we really want some guy to walk in front of your children wearing a dress and not have any underwear on and expose himself to your children, and we're going to make you pay for it now. Let me have $500. I guarantee you it would be 0%.
Yep. You would find out real quick how few people that were actually all pro for this and Democrats, how all of a sudden they would no longer be pro transgender.
These stinky socialists like Oprah Winfrey, who's worth billions of dollars. Oh, I'm going to give $1 million here. Well, that's a thousand of a million. I mean, so what are the heck are you thinking that you're doing? Are you supposed to be?
That's like the average person donating like $100.
Not even that, a nickel,
yeah.
Nickel, a dime, whatever. And so all of a sudden it's like, but then when you start talking to them about, well, you need to pay your fair share of income tax, you're a socialist, which means let's go ahead, since you want all of these programs, let's go ahead and take 90% of your net worth and give it away to all these groups. They're going to go, H-E double sticks, no. I am not going to do this. We're not going to do this. That's what it is. See, all these people that get all this money are cutouts. Oprah's a cutout.
Gates
is a cutout. Musk is a cutout.
What do you think is going to happen? Because we know the banking cartel is directly involved with IRS. Now they're talking about going in and auditing IRS and cutting out an enormous amount of the employees.
The United States is fiscally insolvent. They
can't cover payroll.
They've got to clean it up.
What do you think if they come in, though, and they start dropping massively down on income tax and IRS gets cut back?
They're never going to cut back on income tax. They're not going to.
You don't think so?
No. They can't. They're insolvent. They've got to do is cut back on expenses. Remember, you got the bottom. You got expenses versus revenue.
Right.
You've got to cut back on the expenses. Then the revenue's okay, and we kick the can down the road until we set up our new world order. With Klaus Schwab and the rest of the boys like run around in wedding gowns and naked on the beach in Lake Geneva, you weirdos, you pivot. Oh my God.
This has been a show today.
These guys are sick. They wear these hats at these, I've seen it. And you're like, this is some perverted mess, man. And they think it's okay because they're getting the government to give them money every week, every month, and they don't have to work because they can't work with that mindset because nobody would hire them.
You made a valid point with that, though, is how funny is it that so many people are for these groups and for this DEI and for this transgender promotion while they're getting paid for it and while they're getting money for it, and how quickly when it comes out of their paycheck, how quickly they're no longer a giant proponent of it. Interesting topic for today. You guys, this has been a wild show. Interesting. You guys need anything? Team Health Masters, product of the week, Fit Food Protein. That was great. Actually, I had that shake earlier. Filled me up.
Yeah, you didn't even offer me any. It was awful.
Yeah, I got a can right here. You see it. I got purple 60. What do you need? We'll figure it out after the show. Say on sale right now, last day. Also, to be sure to check out the different specials that we have, including the protocol kits and the GHI Cleanse 3-pack special. Hope you guys are getting the truth out there every day. And as I've told you guys so many times before, always question the narrative. Don't take anything at face value. Always do your own research and dig into things and look at it from an outside open lens standpoint, and don't get stuck in the box that they want you to stay focused in. Ask questions.
Don't get caught in that left-right paradigm.
That's what they like to do. So again, stay strong and healthy. Ultimate Focus Stack as well on sale. The Attention Factor and the Purple Sticks. I still got that up there on the website, Team Health Masters. Y'all have a fantastic evening, my friends. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow as always.
Now I got a little bit of truth for you. Jesus Christ manufactured, built the heavens and the earth. It's through him all things are held together. That's what they don't want you to talk about. They don't want you to talk about who Jesus is, what Jesus does, who God is, and who the creator of the universe really is, and what he did because he loved you so much by going to a cross and dying for you. as an omnipresent being. That's what they don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus. They don't want to talk about any of that, because that allows you freedom in Christ when we realize who really controls this universe. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. Keep your hearts and minds in Jesus every single day of your life.